As an investor, if you're a fan of active asset management, you're going to love today's program. Hi, I'm Rob West. And even if you prefer a more passive approach to investing, you're still in for quite an education. Sean Morgan joins us today to talk about the fourth source of alpha. Sounds mysterious, doesn't it? Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we want to welcome Sean Morgan to the program. He's the Director of Education at Eventide Asset Management, an underwriter of Faith and Finance. Sean, great to have you with us.
Thankful to be on the show.
Well, we're delighted to be able to talk about this. We're talking about, as you know, the fourth source of alpha today. But first, I think you'd better give us the definition of alpha when it comes to investing and perhaps the first three sources of it.
Sure. So alpha is when an investor makes higher returns than the rest of the market. So if an investor is investing in a lot of stocks and their goal is to beat the returns of the S&P 500, alpha would refer to the excess returns that they generate above what the S&P 500 generates. There was a paper written over 20 years ago now by an investor named Russell Fuller, and in it, he explained how there are essentially three ways that investors believe that they can beat the market and achieve alpha. And as I explain these to you, they'll make sense. So you'll probably think of every investment strategy that you've ever heard, and you'll tie it back to one of these three advantages that investors claim that will help them beat the market.
Okay.
First, there's this camp of investors that believe they have an advantage by having access to superior information. So this may be in a professional setting where you have analysts sitting at computers and mining company reports and listening to earnings calls. Yeah. But sometimes this superior information that investors believe that they have is more grassroots, like the classic example of going to a mall and seeing which stores are packed full of customers and then buying stock in those companies.
Sure.
So the first source of alpha is this. It's access to superior information. And we call these investors fundamental investors.
Okay.
Now, there's a second source of alpha that Fuller explains. And this source of alpha is when investors might say, hey, we all have access to this same information, but we have an advantage because we have a better model for processing that information. These are the people that you picture with like two giant computer screens looking at patterns and stock charts, and they buy and sell stocks without even knowing the names of the companies that they're buying and selling.
Yeah.
These are called quantitative investors or quants. Now, there's a third source of alpha that Fuller explains, and this is when investors identify the irrational behavioral biases in other investors, and they take advantage of them by investing against the grain. So this is the example of being fearful when others are greedy and being greedy when others are fearful. You've probably heard that before.
Yeah.
So those are the three sources: accessing superior information, processing information better, and then identifying behavioral biases. And generally, that's how investors believe that they can beat the market.
Well, Sean, that makes complete sense. But obviously, the folks at Eventide now say there's a fourth source of alpha. So share that with us.
All right. So if you think about it, what's interesting about the first three sources that I explained is that they each refer to an advantage investors have in what they do. So they do deeper research, or they process, or they identify behavioral biases. Now, we believe the fourth source of alpha actually comes as a result of having a proper understanding of how the world works. So we come from a biblical worldview, and within this worldview, we believe that everyone is created with intrinsic dignity and worth, and we believe the Bible calls us to love God and love our neighbors in everything we do, which includes business and investing.
Yes.
So instead of starting with what we do as investors, we actually start with why we invest. We invest to love God and love our neighbors. So then we ask, how does this play itself out in investing? Well, we believe the purpose of a business is to provide something of value to its customers. So we ask, does the business's product or service contribute to human flourishing? Or do we believe that it's actually harming people? And we believe it's good business to offer something that legitimately helps people. Now, one step further, we also believe it's good business to care for all the business's neighbors. Its customers, its employees, suppliers, host communities, the environment, and society more broadly. So that's how we look and apply our biblical worldview as a fourth source of alpha in how we invest.
This is so good. Well, we're going to continue to unpack this around the corner, including some examples of companies that create value for shareholders using this fourth source of alpha. Back with Sean Morgan from Eventide Asset Management just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. After Thanksgiving, it seems as though everything changes. Streets and town featuring colorful lighting, malls are packed full, Santa is walking around looking for photo ops, Christmas tunes playing all throughout. If you're lucky, you may even have some snow. But what are we excited about celebrating? Presents? Time with family? These are good things, but there is something greater to celebrate. It's the coming of Christ to the world. Isaiah 9:2 telling us, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Our world is filled with darkness. Just look around. But there is good news. Christ has come, and He's brought a great light to shine in the darkness. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, Advancing Through the Scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted to have you along with us today as we talk about the fourth source of alpha. That is, how you invest generally breaks down into these three sources of alpha: accessing superior information, or processing information better, or perhaps even identifying behavioral biases. This is what's going on behind the scenes when someone's investing on your behalf. Well, we're talking today with Sean Morgan. Sean is the Director of Education at Eventide Asset Management and underwriter of Faith and Finance. And Eventide is a faith-based investing mutual fund. And Sean introduced us to this fourth source of alpha. And Sean, before we dive into some examples, just recap for our listeners that fourth source.
So the fourth source, we believe, is actually asking why we invest in the first place and applying a worldview to it. So we come from a place of having a biblical worldview that believes the purpose of a business is actually to serve people. And so we believe that looking at businesses and how they serve people is actually a good way to examine businesses.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Now, obviously, we need to be able to apply that and see how it really works as you're investing. So perhaps you can share some examples of companies that create value for shareholders and maybe some that don't.
Sure. So that's actually a really good question. And I'll give you one good example and one bad example here. So there are plenty of obvious examples of companies that are creating value. So a lot of times we think of biotech companies that are curing rare and orphan diseases. But I'll actually give you a less obvious example of a company that on the surface seems pretty mundane. So there's a company that manufactures lab instruments. And if you're in a biotech lab or in food production, you have definitely heard of this company. They have a reputation like Apple for being high quality and innovative in their space. Now, what's interesting, here's their secret to success. In a business world that is very transactional, like where labs are simply buying their equipment from these different manufacturers, this company has stood out because of their commitment to invest in their employees and serve their customers and create raving fans.
Yeah.
So they invest heavily in training their employees, and they give them iPads to help them train their customers. And they send them to the sites of their customers to make sure their equipment is working properly and train them on how to use their instruments more effectively. They have the biggest service crew out of any of their competitors. They're the only ones investing to this level into their service crew of employees that go to their customers. Now, while they're on site, they discover future needs of their customers and send those ideas back to the headquarters, and they create new solutions that meet the needs of their customers. So their employees feel valued and invested in. These employees often say, and this is a career for me. And yeah, they feel like they feel like they're doing something important because of the way that the company treats them. And this translates into their customers getting excellent service and better, more intuitive products. Mm. So we ask, like, is this good for business? Absolutely. It's a creating value type model. Now, on the contrary, we'll go back a few years. There was a pharma company back in 2010 that determined they were going to grow not by creating value. That's the language they use. They would say that they're creating value for their shareholders, but they were actually extracting value from their customers, their employees, and really they extracted value from all of society. What this company would do is they would buy out small drug manufacturers, and they would fire the R&D departments. And then, without changing anything about the drugs, they would hike the prices to astronomical levels. And this company, again, they would say that they're creating value for their shareholders. And for a while, investors bought into the story, and their share price soared for years. Until 2015, it plummeted like a house of cards because they weren't actually creating value. They were merely extracting value and reallocating it. And they would say, hey, we're creating value, but they were just taking it from people and then just giving it to their shareholders. And this happens more than you think. Like, think of a cigarette company whose very product extracts from the health of its customers.
Yeah.
Or social media companies whose profit model is built on addictive and harmful messages to teens. Once you apply your worldview, and in our case, a worldview that's predicated by the Bible, it really inspires you to want to avoid investing in companies that are merely extracting value and get far more excited about the companies that are successful by truly creating value.
Hmm. This is so helpful, Sean. So let's then talk about how Eventide uses this. Alpha, of course, is how well investments are outperforming their benchmark or the market. So how does Eventide then use this value creation lens you're talking about to help investors achieve alpha? Because a lot of folks think that to invest with these values in mind, you have to actually give up performance. But you're saying the reality is just the opposite.
So we believe that it's a false dichotomy to pit biblical virtues like kindness, humility, and servant leadership, some of these qualities that we really value. People have started putting these at odds with business success. And it's been interesting to see recently how many business consultants and academics have been circling around and even using the language that Christians have historically used to describe how we should interact with the world. And even people that don't look to the Bible as their source of wisdom are discovering the validity in how we believe God designed the world to work. And they see these things as just good business practices. Whereas 60 years ago, it might have been more common to believe a public company needs to cut its spending on its employees and have cutthroat, ruthless company cultures. There's a much bigger emphasis now on how important it is for the success of a business to create a culture that honors the dignity and worth of everyone working there. Now, what's notable is that a lot of investors still don't look at these aspects in companies when they invest. So for us, we believe we have an advantage by seeing the ways that companies treat their customers, employees, suppliers, and other neighbors, and we factor that into how we value a business. And then later, if, I say if, not all the time, but if these things lead to better performance by the company, that's when other investors jump in. So we believe that our source of alpha comes as a result of our worldview and our calling to love God and love our neighbors and how we invest in businesses.
Yeah, and you're saying this doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. In fact, one person benefiting doesn't automatically have to lead to someone else losing, right?
That's exactly right. It's a grow-the-pie type mentality that when you look at the different neighbors of a business, you say, by making good investments and making sure that each one of those neighbors are benefiting, it actually leads to a more sustainable business model for long-term success than a more myopic focus on short-term results that oftentimes causes businesses to just cut costs at the expense of a lot of their stakeholders and their neighbors. So we actually believe that a more sustainable way to run a business is simply loving your neighbors.
I love it. Well, that ultimately leads to what you all say, and that is investing that makes the world rejoice. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, Sean, but how can folks get more information?
So you can go to our website, which is eventideinvestments.com.
Awesome. eventideinvestments.com. And I know you have a great article on the fourth source of alpha on your website. We'll also put a link to that in today's show notes. Sean, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Morgan, Director of Education at Eventide Asset Management. Again, to learn more, go to eventideinvestments.com. Well, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet Book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas Bundle today at resources.afa.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Great to have Sean Morgan here today. A fascinating discussion of how we think about and apply a biblical worldview to our investing. Again, if you want to learn more, you can check out Eventide Asset Management at eventideinvestments.com. Now it's time to turn the corner, though, and take your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today and help you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, not just investments, but let's look at all of the financial decisions you're making as you think about managing God's money as a steward, whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing, whatever it is today. We've got lines open and we'd love to chat. Give us a call right now, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin today in Pennsylvania. Let's dive in. Mary, thanks for your call. How can I help?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
My question is this. We own a house with no mortgage that is valued about $800,000. And we took out a year ago a $400,000 home equity to build a new, more smaller retirement home. Now, when we took out the home equity with flexible interest, it was at 5.5.
Yeah.
Now it's around 9. Mm. So the question is, we would like to take out a mortgage on the new house and pay off that home equity, but it will cost fees to take out a mortgage, and where that interest rate would then be fixed. So what would be the best choice?
Yeah, the challenge is, and this is why I'm not a big fan of home equity lines of credit, especially, you know, in a low interest rate environment, because that interest rate risk on that variable rate is significant when you go prime plus. So usually home equity lines of credit are, they start with the prime rate and then they add some number to it, you know, and then it moves with the, you know, the movement of the prime rate, which unfortunately today prime is sitting at 8.5. So if you're at prime plus a half a point or prime plus one, you're at 9.5%, which, as you know, is, you know, can be devastating with a major mortgage. The challenge is, you're right, in order to refinance this and get a fixed rate mortgage, which would typically be my preference, you are going to have the fees associated with taking out that new mortgage. And the question is, what are you actually going to save? So, you know, you perhaps, you know, could get a point and a point and a half worth of savings today, you know, because today 30-year mortgage rates, you know, you could probably get one at 7.25. So the nice thing is, you know, you'd be coming down a couple of points, which is great. The challenge is, you're going to want to refinance this again, likely in a couple of years, because you're, even though 7.25 is a couple of points lower than where you are today, it's still not going to be where you want to be when rates are back, let's say at 4, or even 5. Because you're going to be spending a lot more in interest with a higher mortgage payment at 7.25 than you'd like to be over the long haul. Are you all paying this back on the scheduled rate, or do you have a way to accelerate this? Are you planning to liquidate another property that would give you a cash influx or anything like that?
Yes, we probably will liquidate the $800,000 house in 2 or 3 years, but not immediately.
Yeah.
And to answer your question about the interest payment on the home equity, no, we pay the interest plus $3,000 or $4,000 extra on it every month.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
So you have good cash flow right now. Are you all fully retired, or one of you still working?
Oh, yes, yes. No, I'm 77. My husband's 83.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And so the surplus, what income sources do you have beyond Social Security?
We have our annual income is about $140,000 a year, and that includes Social Security.
Okay.
And that also includes a $3,000 a month coming from our IRA.
I see. Okay. But you're not spending that. You're spending, it sounds like, less than $100 on your expenses. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so I think the challenge is just going to be, is it worth the, you know, so let's say you're to be able to pay this off in 3 years because you liquidate the $800,000 home and you move into, I assume you'd be moving into, for the foreseeable future, this property that you built with the home equity loan. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So let's say in 3 years you're able to pay this off. The question is, are you better with the 9.5, hoping that it comes down? You know, you'll probably see it start to fall next year, but it could be later in the year. It just depends on, you know, how quickly we see inflation come down and how long the Federal Reserve believes the economy can withstand these high interest rates while it's fighting the inflation. And that's going to be a balancing act. It's already been pushed out longer than we thought it would, just because of the resilience of the American consumer and the labor market and the U.S. economy. It's been holding pretty strong despite these high interest rates. So the question is going to be, you know, is the cost of putting that new first mortgage in place at a couple of percentage points lower going to offset the benefit of that lower interest rate that you'll get? If we were talking 10, 20, or 30 years, the answer would be yes. Because we're talking about such a short period of time, it could go either way. And so it really is going to just require you to run the numbers and perhaps checking with our friends at Movement Mortgage, movement.com/faith. What you're going to want to look at, Mary, is what is the total cost of putting this new mortgage in place? So on a $400,000 loan, you know, let's say you end up spending 3%. That's $12,000. And then the question would be, are you going to get at least $12,000 in savings with the reduction of the 2 percentage points, let's say you get on the interest rate over 3 years? It's going to be close. And you may find that it's just not worth it, because if we get any kind of reprieve on the variable rate on that home equity line of credit, you may find yourself in a position where you can actually come out better because of the expenses by sticking with the mortgage that you have. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So the better option might be to just keep the home equity, keep paying more than the interest, and then hope that the interest does begin to fall.
That's exactly right. But if you want to run the numbers, I'd check with our friends at Movement Mortgage, have them calculate both and see which comes out ahead. Movement.com/faith. Thanks for your call, Mary. God bless you. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile, Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today live. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. Whatever you're thinking about financially, let us help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom and principles. You can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Georgia. Joshua, you've been very patient, sir. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Yes, I've been hearing people say that we're going to be in a war with China by 2025. Mm. How might that affect the economy here and the global economy? I will hang up and let you elaborate. Thank you. Yeah. You have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Joshua. And let's hope and pray that is never a reality, but I certainly appreciate the question. This is also a question I'd love to get Bob Dahl to weigh in on. He'll stop by tomorrow on the broadcast with his economic update, and I'll be sure to raise this question with him there as well. You know, what averted or helped to avert, which ended up being the reality, a nuclear conflict during the Cold War was the prospect of what they call mutually assured destruction, MAD. And hopefully the fear of the economic equivalent of that would do a similar trick when it comes to a showdown with China, because they have a major economy. I mean, we've gotten a taste of this with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And keep in mind, you know, the Chinese economy is 10 times bigger than Russia. And the invasion of Ukraine and the economic sanctions that have followed and the economic fallout of that has, even in it itself, has delivered an economic shock. So you can imagine if that were the case through an economic war that resulted from a military conflict, potentially, with China, with their economy being 10 times larger than Russia. Keep in mind, there's a lot at stake here. Trade between the U.S. and China last year hit nearly $700 billion. And although China has more to lose, they're more vulnerable to sanctions, their pain tolerance may be a bit higher than ours and that of our allies. And so this is obviously something that no one wants just because of the fallout economically around the globe. Now, what are we doing about it? Well, we've got a couple of, several initiatives already in place to try to get more independent from China. We'll never, be completely independent of them just because of how big their economy is and how much the world depends upon it. But there are some key strategic initiatives we can put in place, and we are, albeit slowly. There's controls to stop China from getting access to high-end semiconductors. We're subsidizing our own high-end technology and even the so-called green industries. And then we're pushing to build supply chains of critical raw materials such as rare earths, which, that may be a new concept for you. Basically, rare earths are used in the components for high technology devices. So we're talking about smartphones and digital cameras and computer hard disks and LED screens and flat screen televisions. I mean, all of that uses rare earths. A lot of that comes from China. So we're trying to build supply chains for rare earths with other friendly countries
you know, as well as equipment that goes into solar panels. And we've had some success in persuading European and Asian allies to go along with these policies. We truly need to be semiconductor independent here in this country, and we're not anywhere close to it. We still rely heavily on Taiwan, which is what, you know, we're just about all, if not the lion's share of the semiconductors that power everything from computers to cars are coming from, which is why China is so critical, because what would obviously precipitate what we're talking about is likely the first step in all of this would be a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, which would lead to this military, or excuse me, economic conflict that we hope would not spread to a military conflict. You know, what would happen as a result of that? You know, that just remains to be seen with regard to how we would respond. And I think a lot of that would come down to whether or not they were, China was able to win easily or, and not face any resistance going into Taiwan versus them being unable to complete a rapid takeover of Taiwan. And then the economic response could be more targeted. Bottom line, given how much we depend upon the Chinese economy, and today, because of their proximity to Taiwan and their ability to basically, if they wanted to, try to cut off the world's access to the semiconductors, as well as how much we depend upon them for ingredients that go into our pharmaceuticals, as well as our technology and devices, you know, we're still a long way from being independent, and we need to move more quickly, which is why I think the policies of the next president related to China, trade, imports, technology, our ability to get semiconductor independent are all critical and need to be front burner issues. So it's a great question, Joshua. The key is we just don't know how it would play out, but we do know just based on this small, you know, window into what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, the economic fallout with an economic war between the U.S. and China would be massive for the global economy, which is why we need to pray a lot, and it would require a lot of wisdom with regard to how it is handled from a geopolitical and diplomacy standpoint. So not something we want to think about, but something we ought to be certainly praying about and considering as we go to the polls in the elections in the coming years. So great question, sir, and I'll be sure to raise that with Bob Dahl tomorrow as well. We appreciate your call. Lines are open today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go back to Pennsylvania. Hi, Tom. How can I help, sir?
Hey, Rob. Yeah, so I'm just thinking through healthcare options for my four kids for starting in January. And currently they're on Pennsylvania, the state CHIP, and we're at full cost CHIP at my income level. So it's like $270 a month per kid. Mm. I own a business, so I'm self-employed, and we cover healthcare for our employees, including myself. And for our kids, it would be over $300 a child, but it's obviously tax deductible through my business. And I'm just thinking through kind of what options should I consider. I mean, the other is to use one of the MediShare type, you know, Christian organizations, and that's considerably less expensive. And I know it takes a little more legwork. So just really interested in kind of any advisement that you'd have in this particular situation.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, as a small business owner, this can be challenging. I know the cost of healthcare is just astronomical these days. So I think it starts with having a really trusted, independent insurance agent who can really go out across the marketplace and come back and present you with your very best options, which one of which may be considering an HSA. You know, I've found that often having that high deductible health plan coupled with the health savings account for the business can be a great option because it keeps costs down. And what you can actually do, even though it would require your, you know, employees to come and yourself to come out of pocket, you know, for those, you know, let's say it's $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 before, you know, they get the coverage. with that high deductible health plan, the savings may allow you to contribute back to their HSA for them. Because there's just, it makes sense economically. So I'd look at an HSA with a high deductible health plan. And then Christian Healthcare Ministries is the health cost sharing ministry we recommend. We have great experience with them. That would get the cost way down for you. And then you could put money in an emergency fund to cover the initial expenses. We'll be right back.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show. It's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Well, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls today on anything financial. You're a steward of God's money. We want to help you be a wise and faithful steward. So call right now with your financial questions, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and you can get through right away, 800-525-7000. Hey, we started the program today by talking about the fourth source of alpha. What in the world is that? Well, we want you to be able to explore how worldview can drive the type of information you seek or you understand or your conviction around how you invest. Well, the team at Eventide has written an incredible article that explains how you can unlock this fourth source of alpha by investing according to a biblical worldview and investments that make the world rejoice. And you can read more about it at EventideInvestments.com. Again, that's EventideInvestments.com. And as you hit that homepage, you'll see a pop-up that says Unlocking the Fourth Source of Alpha. You can download that today and read all about it. It's a fascinating read. All right, let's head back to the phones today, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. You can call right now. Lisa is in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. We have a 21-year-old daughter living at home. She has three jobs. She has very little debt or bills that she has to manage. So we're trying to figure out the best way for her to invest what she's making. She makes really good money.
Yeah.
So she's wanting to invest that, and we're just trying to figure out the best thing for her.
Yeah, I love that idea. So she already has an emergency fund put aside. Is that right?
Yes, she
okay.
does. She actually has quite a bit. She has more in savings than she needs to have for that. My husband and I used to teach financial peace, not that we've been real good lately about living by that, but she's got more in savings than she needs to have right now. She needs to invest some of it. So
yeah. Well, I love that idea, and I'll get to that here in just a second. Perhaps the first step is to, you know, because with these online savings account, you can have multiple savings account, doesn't cost you anything. She may want to think about her money in terms of buckets. So bucket one is, you know, this emergency savings. If she were to have something unexpected come out of left field, you know, let's fund that with an appropriate amount, not more than she needs. Then bucket two and beyond are for those known expenses that might be coming down the road. Maybe she wants to start saving for a home purchase in the next 5 years. Maybe she needs a, you know, she knows she's going to need a car, or she's going to, you know, move out on her own and need first, last, and security. I mean, so let's identify any of those buckets that she needs to start working toward with maybe an automatic deduction from her paycheck going into those, where she doesn't need that now or even next year, but 3 years from now, she'll be thrilled that she put, you know, $250 a month in her, you know, car replacement fund. So let's help her think through some of these near term, I'm saying 5 years or less type expenditures that she can begin building up some savings for. Now, beyond that, I love the idea of her beginning to invest. And if she has earned income, a Roth IRA is a great place to go next. You know, you can, next year, you'll be able to put $7,000 into a Roth IRA. And, you know, that'll be the new limit for 2024. It's $6,500 for this year, which she could still do between now and when she files her 2023 tax return. She could put in up to $6,500. You know, that would be such a great way, Lisa, for her to start investing for the long term. Now, this is money she needs to think, I'm not touching this for 45 years, but think about the power of tax-free growth and compounding for the next 45 years for a 21-year-old who's, you know, starting to put away $6,000 or $7,000 a year every year moving forward. That would be a great option. Now, in terms of the investment she would choose, she's got a couple of options. If she wanted some faith-based investing options, she could look at something like we talked about this morning on the opening of the broadcast, eventideinvestments.com. You know, it'd be a great fund family where she could buy a growth mutual fund, investing in companies that make the world, makes the world rejoice, aligned with her Christian values, looking for long-term growth and appreciation. That would be a great way. So she could open a Roth at Fidelity or Schwab and then buy, you know, one of the faith-based investing mutual funds. I love that option. If she wanted more of an index approach, she could look at one of the robo-advisors. So this is where you'd open an account at maybe the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or the smartphone app Betterment. It's one of the biggest, Betterment. And basically she would answer a series of questions that would determine, you know, her risk tolerance and how the portfolio should be allocated based on her age and objectives. And then she could set up a systematic contribution to that Roth IRA every month, and every month it would be automatically reinvested. It's very low cost, and because it's using indexes, it would just capture the broad moves of the market, you know, over the next 40 plus years as she's growing that for, you know, the retirement someday. So I think either of those options would be great, but I think a Roth IRA would be a great place to start. Does that make sense?
That's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for. So thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks for your call today. I appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, we've got some lines open today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our role in managing God's money, we want to be that wise and faithful steward, handling money according to biblical principles. Because listen, this is a high calling that we have as we manage God's money. And one of the best ways to approach that is to understand whenever we're managing money for someone else, we have to know the heart of the master. What is the master trying to accomplish? How does the master view his money? And in our case, we're stewards of God's money, and so we look to Scripture. And we say, what are the big themes and ideas we can pull out of Scripture to apply to our financial lives? Understanding that we need to hold it loosely and give it generously and live with contentment, not get caught up in the comparison trap. And here's the ultimate goal, and this is really our vision here at FaithFi, is that every Christian would live as if God is our ultimate treasure. We want to see God as our ultimate treasure. And when we see him in that light, guess what happens to money? It becomes a tool. It's a part of God's creation that we then use to accomplish God's purposes, because he's our treasure, not the things of this world, not the temporal that's passing away or fleeting, where moth and rust destroys, but focusing on the eternal, ultimately investing in those things that will last, people and God's word and providing for our families and building relationships and memories, using money as a tool for all of those things, because it's one of God's good creations. And so we want to use it wisely. We want to use it faithfully so we can someday hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, if you have a question today, I've got room for maybe one more of your questions today at 800-525-7000. Hey, we're about to turn the corner to December, which means it's the giving season. Now, as believers, we should be givers all year long, but here in December, it's when we really are thinking about generosity, because between now and December 31st, you're likely going to be thinking about what should we be giving this year to the ministries and causes that we really care about. Perhaps it's been a good year, or maybe it's been a bit challenging, but you still want to exercise that giving muscle. Well, let me remind you about a couple of key dates if you want to give, particularly non-cash giving. You want to make sure you do that in the appropriate time. So, for instance, if you're giving publicly traded securities, so you're going to give a gift of an appreciated stock to a ministry that you love, make sure you do that by December the 15th to give them time to get that in and give you credit for that by the end of the year. If you're going to make a grant out of your donor advised fund, maybe you have a giving fund at the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. Try to get that in by December 15th as well. If you're looking to do a complex gift, so this would be a gift of maybe a piece of real estate or a business interest, try to do those as early as possible. I'd get on that right away, and our friends at National Christian Foundation can help. Cash gifts this year, make sure that they're postmarked by the U.S. Postal Service no later than December the 29th. That's going to ensure that it gets credited by the end of the year, so you get credit for 2023. Now, remember, December 31st falls on a Sunday this year, and post offices will be closed, so we want to make sure that everything is postmarked by at least Friday, December the 29th, or December 30th if your post office is open on Saturday. Again, that postmark date from the U.S. Postal Service is going to be key. If the ministry receives it and it's postmarked after the first of the year, you're probably not going to be able to get credit. Now, applications for charitable gift annuities. If you're thinking about a charitable gift annuity with the American Family Association Foundation, I would get on that as quickly as you can as well, because you don't want to get past the deadline on that. And so make sure you reach out to the team at the AFA Foundation as quickly as possible so that they can be sure to get all of that set up for you and make sure that everything is done in the in a timely manner. AFAFoundation.net. for a charitable gift annuity to be able to get a partial deduction on that and get a stream of income. That is a powerful tool to allow you to make a gift to American Family Association and get an income stream for life, a partial deduction now, and then ultimately whatever's remaining goes to the great work of AFA. Again, AFAFoundation.net. Make sure you get in on that as quickly as you can. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today. So thankful to have you along with us as we explore the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving last week, but thanks for spending some time with us today. Lord willing, we'll be back here to do this all over again tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Robert Youngblood, and Devin Patrick, this has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and be sure to check us out at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, or you can make a tax-deductible gift to support the ministry. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.